Well, welcome to our St. Phil Road service. If you are tuning in or you're not normally with us, it's great to have you join with us as we worship Jesus. I'm Ben Walker, the minister, and it's great to have you join with us. Now, today is Palm Sunday, when we recall Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey at the start of his last week, at the start of that week of Passion. He's the King who came to die. And we'll touch on that in our service and in the extra 20 minutes for children and their families, which is online already and there with Jen. But on a day when we would have had communion together, and following on from talking about Jesus turning water into wine last week, I'm going to reflect on what goes on at communion in our service today, rejoicing in that King who came to die for us. So hopefully, along with your Bibles, you may have bread and wine or some grape-based drink to hand. I was going to use Schlur, but my children seem to have drunk it all since last week. I've made do with something else. I mentioned bringing them last week. As it happens, PCI have said that communion isn't something that's really doable online, and that we need to feel the pain of that in our apartness. And so we do lament that this isn't and won't be the Lord's Supper together, as we've known it. But I'll be using bread and wine as visual aids, or better yet, gustatory aids. You can look that up, gustatory. And teaching later about communion. So whether or not you want to join in at the various times I use them, that's entirely up to you. The announcements are coming up now, though, so you can press pause or run and get anything you need while they're on, but do take note of them. And in particular, a few people have been in contact about giving financially, realising that although we're not still gathering and meeting together, we still are incurring costs. I've not suddenly become a tele-evangelist who's all about the money, but as followers of Jesus, we are called to give. So we'd encourage you, if you're able, to continue with your regular giving by making direct payments, either through a standing order or by transferring money electronically online through a direct transfer. If you're not able to make electronic payments, do still continue to fill up your envelopes and leave them to one side. And when we can gather together, bring and put them in the offering plate then. But if you've got any queries or questions, do just email our treasurer, David Thompson, and you'll find the bank details and his email address coming up on the announcements right now. Well, let's begin with some words from scripture that prophesied Jesus coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday all those years ago. Words from Zechariah that I've been really struck by this week and even reflected on in our Wednesday prayer video. Let's hear them again. Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Well, we come as prisoners of hope, restricted to our homes, but with hope, captured by the hope of Jesus, the one who has humbly come to us, the King who has come to die, to shed his blood, to fulfill God's covenant promises and bring us true freedom. The one who came to bring peace to the nations, who promises restoration in the future, far greater than all we've known in this life. So in that hope, we return again to our fortress, our stronghold this morning. Not our homes, not our church building, not our family or the people around us, or simply each other, but to our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you as the mighty King, whose kingdom is being established from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. We come to you as our fortress, our stronghold, and we thank you that our hope is in the King who lived and died and rose again for us. Like people thousands of years ago, Jesus, we love to sing your praise. And yet we also recognize how quickly our praise can turn into words that dismiss you and words that deny you. Lord, forgive us our sin as we meet with you now, and open our eyes and our hearts by your Spirit to see and receive you afresh as our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong to deliver, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne, your majesty. Majesty, earth and time.
Mark chapter 11, 1-10. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the ground, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our Father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
This morning's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 33. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Amen.
As we've said, today is Palm Sunday, and we remember the King, worthy of all praise, who came to die. A sacrifice that means life and freedom and salvation for us. And that's the heart of our faith. We come back to it week in, week out, even day in, day out. But particularly at Easter time, and particularly as we would have shared in communion. Now, as I said earlier, today cannot and will not replace or replicate the power and significance of coming together for communion at St. Field Road. And that is lamentable. But I simply want to take you through the meaning, the power, the significance of communion as we would have shared it. And for us to take something from that together apart. Maybe it's long-term preparation for the day we do come back together. And perhaps if you're in a family with your children there, do involve them in this. Here's a chance in our homes as families to share and grow in our understanding of what Jesus has done and what it means for us and for faith as a family. For children and young people who aren't normally in communion, to think a little more about what's going on. The Bible's really clear that at Passover, children would have been involved in the meal there, and they would have asked questions throughout it, and they would have learned through that what it meant to be God's people. And so actually, wherever you are in your journey with Jesus, do follow along so you can understand communion better. What I want to do is for us to think about what's going on in the Lord's Supper or communion in terms of six arrows and some appropriate responses. Now, the first arrow is a down arrow because it's all about communion being the gift of God to us. It's Jesus who introduces the Lord's Supper. There in verse 23 of chapter 11, Paul recounts it. It's Jesus who is the host, who is breaking the bread and who is handing out the wine. It's the Lord's Supper. And it's all about binding promises, a covenant that God has made to us, that God initiated, that God came in Jesus to fulfill in his blood, and that God wants us to hear and know afresh in these days. The first thing to remember about the Lord's Supper is that it's from the Lord to us. It's not first about our response to God, or how sorry or worthy we feel or try and feel. It's about God hosting. It's about God promising. It's about God providing. It's about God delivering. It's about God feeding. It's about God speaking. We don't come to communion to work ourselves up to God. We come to receive from God. We come to receive in our sin, in our brokenness, in our weakness, in our weariness, in our lack of faith. We come to sit down and be fed. And God's at work in us as we take the physical signs of communion, the bread and the wine, by faith. By his Spirit, he comes to help us taste the reality of his words, of forgiveness and assurance and strengthening and renewal. So when you come to communion and eat and drink, but even more, when you simply come to God in your frailty, remember this: Jesus wants above all to feed you, to speak you, to renew you. And the second arrow is an up arrow. Because where we do respond to God, it's initially about our thanks to God. Some traditions call the sharing of bread and wine the Eucharist. That's literally the Greek word for thanksgiving. As Jesus gave thanks to God at the Last Supper, so we too give thanks to God. And that's why when we come to communion, we pray, and it's a prayer marked with thankfulness to God for who he is and what he's done and what he's given to us. We're not trying to muster up some earnest feeling of meaning or of faith, as though getting the right emotions might make us feel worthy or somehow contribute to what God gives to us or make communion happen for us. We're simply at God's table, being fed by him, saying, thank you. Now the third arrow, that looks back. What Jesus makes clear as he shares in this Last Supper, this Lord's Supper with his disciples, is that the bread represents his body broken for us, and the wine his blood shed for us. And so at the Lord's Supper, we're looking back at that event in history. We're rooting our lives again in that event at the heart of our faith, when Jesus showed what love is, giving up his life to death on a cross for us and our world. When Jesus gave himself to defeat his and our enemies, sin and death and Satan. When Jesus put himself in history on the cross, in our place, and took the punishment we deserve for our sin. So as we eat, And as we drink, we pause and we remember and we reflect with all that that may stir in us. And we proclaim the vital significance of this historical event for us as God's people and for the world as a whole. Well, listen, we're going to reflect on Jesus' death now as we sing together, or perhaps as we simply think about the words and listen. Said that communion is first about God giving to us, feeding us. And we've said that it's about what God has done in Jesus in history. It's about God and what he's done before it's about us. But just as the bread and the wine go into us, so the Lord's Supper has an inward direction. The arrows point inwards. It's God at work in us. First, there's an element of self-examination that goes on, says Paul, about taking it in an unworthy manner that doesn't recognise Jesus' body. And that's why we tend to look for people to be at a stage in becoming communicant members, a stage in life where they're not just trusting in Jesus, as many do from the youngest of ages, but where they're able also to self-reflect as they come to communion. And it would be a mockery, wouldn't it, to take the Lord's Supper and not be a Christian, not put your trust in Jesus, the one who is giving this to you. But here actually is a moment to self-examine even in that and ask, why am I not putting my trust in Jesus, who's done this for me? And of course, everyone who participates in the Lord's Supper should reflect on their lifestyle and relationships. The Lord's Supper is for people who have failed, but who are repentant, who trust that they've been forgiven and want to grow closer to and more like Jesus. It's not simply a ritual that means nothing about God's challenge on the way we live or on our relationships. And that phrase, the body of Christ, suggests something about our relationships with each other. It's not right to eat and to drink, but blank outright refuse to deal with division among us that causes a real hindrance in us relating to God and in us relating to one another. Go and deal with that relationship with your brother first, says Jesus elsewhere. And he suggests here, or Paul does, that not doing so has adverse effects on us and the church. So we come with self-examination to take this seriously in our lifestyles and relationships. But please remember that the Lord's table is not for perfect people. Not at all. Sometimes people don't show up or take part in communion because they think they're not worthy. You know, the great benchmark for being worthy is really to recognise that you are unworthy. The Lord's Supper is for the hypocritical, the weak, and the unworthy people who know that we've failed, who know that we've done wrong, who lack peace, who lack assurance, who lack faith, but who know we desperately need God's grace and strengthening faith. So maybe now is a moment when we're going to pause for a minute or two in our worship to be quiet and simply open ourselves, our lives, our confessions, honestly before God. And if you need longer, do just pause the video. But God works in us by his Spirit as we participate in the Lord's Supper. He stamps and he seals in us what Christ has done for us. In faith, we drink in forgiveness, hope, right relationship with our Father. In faith, we feed on the peace and strength and renewal that only Christ can give by his Spirit and does. We're being spiritually nourished. We're reassured that he did it for us out of love. I'm a member of an eternal family. I get a taste now of the great banquet to come and all God's blessings for me, which are reserved and guaranteed. So when we take communion, we joyfully affirm and proclaim that our faith is in Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. And if we can't take communion together, we can at least do one thing we normally do at communion, and that we've also been doing all these past weeks in our studies on it. So let's say the Apostles' Creed together for one last time for a while. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the arrows of communion don't just go inward, they go outward too. Let's not forget that the Lord's Supper is not simply God and me It's gone us. Communion. Paul talks about discerning the body, each other, and in sharing this together. And that's what we've been seeing in the Apostles' Creed, and that's what we've been finding as we've been saying it together and thinking about the Holy Spirit working in us, not just me. So at communion, it's important as we eat and as we drink, not just to have our heads bowed in self-examination, but also to look around. To look around at those we're sharing this with whom we are one in the body. And I guess that's what we lament the most in not being able to share communion. But here's what I want you to do. Think for a minute. Or if you're with others in your family, talk about, for the next minute or two, people from church. Think about them, smile about them. People who sit around you normally, people who you see and chat to in the hub before or after. And as you think about them, thank God for them and commit them to God in prayer. We're going to just take a couple of minutes, and during that time, as you talk about that or think about those people, I'm going to put up on screen just a few pictures of people that were taken on our anniversary Sunday round and about the church, so that we can feel the sense of others and see some familiar faces that we're one in the body with. But I also want you to do this. Take a selfie of yourself afterwards. Or take a family picture of wherever you're sitting at the moment, in your living room or in your dining table. Maybe you need to go and get properly dressed first, I don't know. But take a picture wherever you have been worshipping this morning. And maybe pause and take it now if you like. But take a picture and then email it to me. Email it to me, or failing that, email it to the church. Because I'd love to gather as many pictures of us in our homes worshipping together as possible. And I'm going to get Chris to make a video of us all so that we can show it next Sunday, Easter Sunday, and celebrate that even though we're apart, we worship together. So take a picture and send it in to me, but also spend a minute or two giving thanks for each other in our church. Lastly, the arrow points forward. Because the Lord's Supper is something that we keep doing until the Lord comes again. It's a continuing thing that we do, a sign not just of forgiveness, but of great hope as we look forward to Christ's return, as we yearn the fulfillment of this meal in the great wedding feast of the Lamb. It doesn't just carry a sense of remembrance and looking back. It carries a sense of expectancy. We proclaim the Lord's death. We witness to the fact that he is the hope for us and our world. We affirm the faith that we live in and we live out until Jesus comes again. We seek to keep living in this world as his people with our true identity and hope, even helped through the bread and the wine set in Christ. So we're going to end looking outward and looking forward as we live for Christ in these days. And in that vein, we turn to our prayers.
Matthew 18, verse 20 says that whenever two or three are gathered together in God's name, he is there with us. So wherever you are gathering, whether you're with other people, whenever you're watching us, let's join together in prayer as a church now, knowing that God is with us as we do this. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are good when life is not. Your word tells us about people who have praised you through storms, through fires and floods. So help us to praise you through lockdown, through isolation, through distancing and shielding. Let nothing steal our song. And God, help us choose to worship you at this time. Help us choose you in the midst of this situation that we find our world in. And help us to hold on to the knowledge of your promise that you're with us through all things. This current situation reminds us, God, that the world is broken. And thank you, God, that you're our anthem of hope. Even as we lament our inability to meet together physically as a church, help us to be a church body in our separate parts who can shine out clearly that hope that we have in you in every way that we can at this time. Through our phones, through our computers, via Skype, WhatsApp, Zoom, house party, or as we smile and meet and greet people 2 metres away from us as we walk or as we shop. Help us show your hope to this world, God. And we pray that in the midst of this all, as so many of the complications and distractions of our modern world are stripped away, that people would see that their lives are missing something. We pray that as people have more time to reflect on things that they would normally do, that people would see that there's more to this world than they normally have time to realise. And we pray that people would turn to you as the only hope in this situation. So in our prayers now, God, we lift up particular groups of people and ask for you to be with them and to help them in this situation. We pray for our healthcare workers. We thank you for their bravery to serve those people who are ill. We thank you for the skills that you have blessed them with to be able to help others. And we pray that you would give them and their families energy and peace of mind to get through this season. We pray for our leaders as well, God, for the politicians, for the lead scientists, chief medical officers in all the countries across the world battling this disease. We pray for your wisdom, guiding them as they make decisions about how we all should cope. And we pray for those who are elderly, pregnant, or have some other condition that would make this situation so much scarier. Help them to know that you are with them, God. And we pray too for those people who are finding the current situation difficult for any other reason, who have other worries or stresses, whether about their work, their income or finances, their education, or loneliness. God, in all those situations where people are struggling, we pray that you bring hope. We thank you that you know the needs of this world even more than we do, and we leave all these things in your hands, knowing that you can help. Amen.
As we end, don't forget to take your picture and send it to me by WhatsApp or by email so we can have a great show of that next Sunday morning. We're entering Holy Week 2 and lots of resources up for that. So on Wednesday, our prayer video. On Thursday, there should be a biblical reflection in conjunction with Knockbreeder Church of Ireland, keeping in our tradition with Maundy Thursday with them. On Good Friday, we'll have an online video taking us through the reading of the Passion story from Mark's Gospel, with readings from all the ministers of South Belfast Presbytery Churches. So look out for those and join us for those on the website. And then we'll return on Easter Sunday morning for our worship. And as well as showing some of those pictures of us all, it would be great for us to meet at 12 o'clock for a catch-up, if we can see each other on Zoom just for a few minutes. The details are on the announcements on how to join, and they'll be on the website too. But now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.